Welcome to the Development Podcast.
This is a new series from the World Bank Group where we look at the biggest stories in the world of international development and global economics.
He's Paul Blake.
And she's Raka Banerjee.
And we're coming to you from the World Bank headquarters in Washington, D.C. But in this episode and throughout the series, we'll be hearing from people who are really at the heart of the World Bank, folks who are working on the latest development issues from every corner of the globe.
So, Raka, as we were talking about what we were going to do in our first episode, we realized there was probably no better way to start things off than by talking about starting a business. Did you ever think of starting something?
I am extremely unentrepreneurial. Is that a word? I don't think that's a word.
Something like that.
I think if I ever tried, I would be like, I made this thing. You know, do you want to buy it? You probably don't. That's fine. but wait, you were telling me about something that you wanted to do, right? Like some sort of like, if I didn't have this job, which I love.
Well, so, I mean, I'll just say, like, first of all, my boss is going to be listening to this later. So for the record, I love my job here at the World Bank. But I guess I've, you know, forever had this idea to start like a little cafe where during the day I could serve food, snack food, people could work on their laptops. And then
nice.
The evenings, you know, like musicians could come and play, or like authors could come and do readings, or journalists could talk about their work, stuff like that.
Oh, I love that. Actually, I play music. So, you know, maybe if you ever do this,
I was gonna say, you'll have to come.
Yeah, I hope you would invite me.
Of course.
So what's held you back? Why aren't we doing this right now?
I mean, it's one of those things, like, I wouldn't know where to start. Like, first of all, you have to get the startup capital. I would need a location. I wouldn't know where to start the place. There's tons of business licenses I would have to get. I'd probably have to hire some employees.
See, this is why it sounds like a terrible idea.
I mean, entrepreneurship's important, so.
Well, today we're going to find out, like, what are the countries where it's actually easiest to do business? So
right.
You are in luck.
Refocusing. Yes. That's right. So today is all about the Doing Business Project. It's one of the World Bank's most well-known reports, and it's where we analyze just how business-friendly countries are around the world. And then we rank them, like literally rank them, like football standings.
Exactly. So in a few minutes, we are going to travel to Togo, which has made big progress on business-friendly reforms.
Then we'll be back here in Washington, where we'll get the big picture, including which countries are the most business-friendly, which have made the biggest improvements, and a whole lot more. That's a really good interview coming up.
It's all coming up here on the Development Podcast from the World Bank Group.
But first, to kick things off, let's dive into the data. So, Raka, I just met you a couple weeks ago, but word on the street is you're a bit of a data nerd.
Actually, I prefer data geek. But yes, I'm actually in the World Bank's development data group.
Very cool. Well, you are definitely better placed to explain all the data and analysis, and I guess the word would be methodology that goes into something like the Doing Business Report.
Yeah, methodology. I mean, so one thing I'm always curious about is how are things measured, right? That's methodology. So in the case of the ease of doing business, it's obviously not something you can easily measure very directly.
I mean, couldn't you just call up, you know, different, I don't know, restaurants and businesses and firms in countries around the world and just say, hey, like, what was your experience in starting a business in, I don't know, Colombia?
So the bank actually does do that. It's called Enterprise Surveys, but doing business is a different ballgame. So the reason is, you know, if you call up that restaurant, you know, say they started up 10 years ago, one, you know, their memories are going to be 10 years old. It's not really going to show you what business it's like to start a business today. And that restaurant made it. Who knows how many other restaurants didn't make it that you're not talking to, right?
Exactly. So you're not sort of capturing the experience of restaurants that maybe faced too many hurdles to succeed or had some other reason why they didn't succeed. So you're really only hearing the success stories.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why, so doing business basically wants to capture how easy it is to do business year after year.
So what do they do differently then?
So what they're measuring is regulations. So rather than talking to people about their experiences, they're actually looking at what's on the books.
What laws there are.
Yeah, exactly. What does the law say you have to do to start, say, a cafe with poetry readings in the evenings?
So very helpful. So what kind of regulations does the report look at? Does it vary at all?
No, it's actually completely standardized. It's 12 areas. It's starting a business, dealing with construction permits, getting electricity, registering property, getting getting credit.
It's kind of like the back to basics of like what you would need to do to like start a business. It kind of maybe something that's slightly generalized for anywhere in the world. So, okay, so they're not talking to businesses. Where are they getting this information from?
Well, it's all about regulations, so they go to the experts on regulations.
Lawyers?
You got it. Yeah. They're talking to mostly it's lawyers, judges, and notaries, but then they also talk to other experts depending on the field. So, like, if they're looking at, you know, how easy is it to pay your taxes, they'll talk to accountants. How easy is it to get a construction permit, they'll talk to engineers. And they talk to government officials and World Bank staff in the region to get their take also.
But a lot of people will be wondering right now, which country is like the most business friendly in the world and which one is the least business friendly in the world?
So for the last 4 years, New Zealand has been at the top and Somalia has been at the bottom.
All right. Thanks so much. Well, I want to turn now to Togo. It's one of just two sub-Saharan African countries, alongside Nigeria, on this year's Doing Business Top Improvers list. That's the list, as I said earlier, of countries that have made the most business-friendly reforms in the past year. I started wondering, why Togo? Well, to get an answer, I had my colleague Marie Dufour from the World Bank's Africa team phone up Candide Legede, who runs a women's entrepreneurship incubator in the capital city of Lomé. Just a quick note, the interview was conducted in French, so we've dubbed over Candide's answers in English. Now, Marie, take it away.
So, Candide Legede, my first question that I need to ask you, because we know that you work closely with the entrepreneurs in Togo, we want to know if these entrepreneurs have the sense and also the feeling that the business climate has been improved in your country.
I'm an entrepreneur in Togo, and I worked also with many entrepreneurs, and for some time now, Togo has successfully implemented structural reforms to improve its economy, and this is really important for boosting the private sector investment. The situation for entrepreneurs has improved in many areas. For example, we've had significant reforms when it comes to the ease of starting a business, obtaining construction permits, access to electricity, registering property, or access to credit, etc. Previously, it took 5 days to start a business in Togo. Today, it only takes 24 hours. These reforms are supported by the launch of the National Development Plan, which started in 2018 and runs until 2022, which aims to foster sustainable growth that is inclusive and, above all, that creates jobs. As a result of these efforts, the paperwork and formalities for business creators have been considerably simplified, and the goal is to enable national and foreign economic actors to invest in a growth-enhancing field in Togo.
So my next question, as we mentioned earlier, Togo is one of the two countries in Africa who are on the list of the top improvers in this year's Doing Business report. So in other words, the countries that have improved their business climate the most. So can you explain us why Togo is on this list and why Togo has made progress and reforms when other African countries didn't?
It is the result of political will. Not every state has such will. Our president has set the ground for effective implementation of these reforms by enabling the regulatory environment for the business climate to improve.
Of course, you know, no economies and no countries are perfect. So can you tell us a little bit more about the main challenges facing Togolese entrepreneurs today and how can these challenges can be improved?
Access to finance is the main obstacle to small business development. Financing is the most fundamental need for young entrepreneurs. Most women entrepreneurs work in the informal sector. They often run small-scale companies, and they are not as represented as men in high capitalization sectors. That is a significant difference between men and women-owned businesses. I work for an entrepreneurial center that aims to help Togolese women entrepreneurs overcome these obstacles. We help these women to acquire the skills and means to take up the challenges that often put them at a disadvantage, such as marketing and communications. We help them create and increase their visibility on the internet. We also assist them with production or packaging issues, and with management and developing strategies to support their entry into international markets.
Thank you so much, Kenneth, for your time, and thank you for answering to our questions today.
Merci. Au revoir.
Well, that's the on-the-ground view from one country, but doing business actually looks at more than 190 economies every year.
And all of that data is compiled and analyzed by dozens of economists and researchers back here in Washington.
The woman who is in charge of it all is Rita Jamalio, and she is joining us in the studio today. Rita, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Raka, for inviting me and Paul.
So can you just start by giving us the headlines from this year's report? Like, what have we learned from doing business 2020?
So I think what we learned this year is to some extent similar from last year in the sense that countries are improving. So we do see a lot of reforms and changes and improvements in business regulation. But the interesting news is where these improvements are happening. What is different this year is that we see actually an increase in improvement in the MENA region, so North Africa, Middle East, specifically in the Middle East. And I think a lot of it is countries that have their economy that is very oil-based or natural resources-based, and they're trying to diversify it. So they realize that this resource only lasts so long, and they also need the private sector to help them grow and expand. And so they're trying to make life easier for the private sector. So we see some awakening to these issues in that region. But we also see a continuation of some of the other countries that were reforming intensely before, like India, which for the third time in a row is one of the top improvers in doing business. China is also a second year in a row top improver. But we also see a few African countries actually doing very significant improvements. Togo is definitely a rising star in Africa. They're trying to follow the footsteps of Rwanda. So we do see actually significant improvements across the globe, but where they happen, it varies year on year in who's actually making the biggest efforts.
There's sort of two big lists, I feel like, that come out of the report. There's the countries that are the most business-friendly, and then there's the top improvers. So maybe they're not the most business-friendly yet, but they're on their way, and they've made the most reforms. In terms of that first list, the places where it's most business-friendly, what do those countries have in common?
The top 20 countries, they actually all have a very practical view of addressing business regulation. So they try to see what can we make it simple, still keeping in mind that regulations are useful and that they need to regulate certain sectors of the economy, because of course there are always market failures. But they do communicate a lot with the private sector to make sure that their regulations actually make sense, are implementable. They use technology a lot. So you can start a business online, you can pay your taxes online. So they try to make the life of businesses as easier as possible, but still trying to keep the regulations that they need still there.
And then in terms of the top improvers, what do they all have in common? So these are the countries that have made the most reforms. What are the popular reforms? What do these countries have in common?
There's a huge diversity of countries, both in region, size, political side of the spectrum also. What they do have in common is they actually have very big push from the top. So there's a lot of interest from their top government to actually improve in this area. And that we see across all the countries that made it to the top improvers list.
So like it sounds like political will is a big thing, right? What about in terms of like the types of reforms? Like is there one type of reform that can, you know, really catapult a country up the rankings?
I think there's definitely some that may have a bigger impact than others. But what we do see as a pattern is that they all reformed in many areas. So we had countries that reformed in 9 areas, 8 areas out of the maximum of 10. So most of the top improvers, I think only one of them, which I think was Jordan, that improved in only 3 areas. The vast majority of them have 5, 6, 7, 8, or even 9 areas that they improve. So they have consistent improvement across all the different areas that you measure, and that's when you can actually have significant impacts. That being said, of course, it's all relative because we're looking at the improvement, not at the actual level. So if you start from a very low base, you always have a very big room for improvement. So for instance, we would never see New Zealand, who's number one in doing business, in the top improvers list because there's not much room that they can
go,
do.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
As opposed to, for instance, Togo, who improved this year 40 places. They were, you know, to 97. They used to be at 137. So they had a lot of room for improvement.
The report isn't without controversy. It looks at regulation and deregulation and reforms that you say are business friendly, but it's not looking at things like price stability, infrastructure, workforce skills, what perhaps might be a more holistic look at a business-friendly environment. couldn't a critic say, well, this is just a report on deregulation?
That's, I think, a misconception about doing business. Several of the things we measure, if you have no regulation, you're the worst, first. And second, others, we're actually measuring, do you regulate this area? So I'll give a couple of examples. So for instance, in registering property, yes, we're looking at, is it easy, fast, cheap to transfer property? But if you don't actually have a land administration system that allows you to transfer property, we are what you call no practice, which means that it's the worst. You cannot actually legally transfer property. There's very few countries that fit in that category. And normally they're fragile or conflict-affected countries, but it does happen. So and that's the worst. Having no regulation, no implementation of that regulation is the worst. And some other indicators, like, for instance, insolvency, resolving insolvency, we're actually making sure that you regulate this area well, because that's an area where there's a lot of market failures and you need to have strong regulation to reduce the risk and actually make investors willing to take the leap and invest in firms. On the issue of macro variables, doing business does not measure directly any macro issue. We're not measuring that just because that already existed. Where there was a lack of data and missing information was more at the micro level of this issues of how do you implement regulations, how do businesses interact with the government, and not at the broad aspect of, you know, national statistics. There was already good data, so
there.
We felt
yeah.
like there's no need. Like, and of course, you can always complement doing business data with that.
So another one of the criticisms that we hear sometimes is that, you know, countries that are doing very well on the rankings might not be doing so well on other issues like human rights. And, you know, should doing business be taking into account, you know, issues of individual liberties and that sort of thing?
Of course, individual liberties are very important and should always be looked at. But doing business is very narrow in scope. And I think any benchmarking exercise would always be narrow in scope because we want to be comparable and to collect data. It's a big effort, so there's only so much one can add into an existing indicator set. That being said, I think it's also important to combine it with other data sets that would measure that areas, you know, human rights issues or other, and have that in mind. But still, what we're looking at is how hard or how easy it is for a person of that country to actually operate their business and start and expand and export, import goods. So it's very, very focused on one particular type of aspect and not going beyond the you know, not including human rights type of issues, although they are still quite important and they should be highlighted in the discussion.
Let's focus on the country detail. One of the big headlines has been China's performance. This year it did better than many advanced economies. That would surprise a lot of people.
I think China has, you know, since it opened up 40 years ago, close to that, has evolved a lot in many different areas. Business regulation or simplifying business regulation is a relatively recent area for China. They started working on that in the past 3-4 years. And once they started focusing on that, actually they were very, very interested in this area and trying to improve across many, not just doing business, but in business environment at large, because I think they were, you know, they have very high rates of growth in the past 10 years, 20 years, and then they realized that their growth rates were going down. Like, they're still quite impressive anyway, but they're not at the same pace as they were before, and they realize that actually what they need is to deregulate or to debureaucratize. Maybe I'm not saying the right way.
Maybe,
but like to reduce bureaucracy, reduce red tape in their country, and to actually reap better the benefits of the growth that they had before, and actually be able to sustain higher growth rates. So they've realized that their initial growth model was getting to an end, and that they need another injection of dynamism in their economy. And they saw simplifying business regulations, reducing red tape, making it easier for people to do business, is a way to actually be able to sustain a little bit better, longer their growth rate. So that's why they took on this. And once they take this on, they're very, very effective and very intense.
So one thing that we noticed when we were looking at the rankings, in terms of regional trends, in the top 50 ranked, there's not a single country from Latin America. So what explains this? It's pretty worrying.
Latin American country in the top 50?
So the closest one is Mexico at 60.
Where does it come in? 60.
So then that Chile is 59. So like pretty much close to Mexico in their business regulations.
And so why what explains that there's not a single one in the top 50?
So there are two things. So the ranking is always relative. So it doesn't necessarily mean that these countries haven't reformed or haven't improved, but they just improved at a slower pace than the rest of the world. And so their ranking kept on going down because they actually used to be countries. There were, Mexico at some point was in the top 50. Chile also at some point was in the top 50.
Even so Colombia. Some of them were there and now they dropped out.
They went down just because other countries took over.
Just as we're wrapping up here, what is your ultimate ambition for doing business? What do you hope that it accomplishes?
I think what I hope that it accomplishes is, first, one I think that it has accomplished already is to bring awareness to the issues of red tape, business regulations that I think before it existed, they were not so prominent on the agenda. So to actually start that discussion and get countries to be interested about this and improve, because I think these are very important for job creation, poverty reduction. But I think the other one, which I think maybe we're halfway there, but I think we'll also be able to accomplish hopefully in the near future, is actually to improve how governments operate. So one of the things that we see in doing business is actually there's a lot of lessons learned for the government when they actually reform in doing business. Because even though the indicators are narrow, straightforward, they actually involve a lot of different areas of the government.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming in. This has been really great.
Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
Great having you.
Thank you for listening to the Development Podcast from the World Bank Group. If you have any feedback, please email us at thedevelopmentpodcast@worldbank.org. Meanwhile, if you enjoyed this show, be sure to check out our sister program, Expert Answers, which you can find on the World Bank's YouTube page. Our guests today were Candide Legadé in Togo and Rita Hamalio here in Washington, D.C. Jasmine Buttar edits our program with Peter Von Elling and James Sullivan in the control room. Our music and graphics were created by Simone McCourty. A huge thanks to the World Bank's Francophone community who really helped us out with this episode. Until next time, goodbye.